Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
God's Word has such a powerful way of reaching the hearts and the minds of each and every one of us. We ought to be thankful that God has provided the guidance and the direction through His Word that encourages, uplifts, even sometimes rebukes us, and helps us to try to walk a greater life. This morning, Sister Frankie Hobbs came and asked that we have prayer together, and she wanted the congregation to know that she wants to be restored to faithfulness here, wants to be back in the Lord's church again and serving, and we're truly thankful for her, and I want you to encourage her as her example has encouraged us. Not only that, this past Wednesday evening to see Aaron Duncan obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see her become a New Testament Christian, that is such a tremendous thrill and a part of our understanding of God's Word. Now this morning I'd like to draw your attention for just a few moments to the subject of, are you a failure wanting to succeed? I've been trying to struggle with the idea of what to title this lesson. I've been really trying to find out the best way to preach this lesson. And the reason being is, as we discussed in Wednesday night in the auditorium class from the book of Isaiah, we were talking about how is it that you motivate people to obey the Word of God. Now that is a challenge, to try to be able to get people to see not only what God says, which is education, but to get people wanting to do what God says to do, and that's motivation. And this morning's lesson is really about motivation. It's really about our trying to see ourselves as able to win in the struggle against sin. I want to begin by asking some questions. Have you ever felt like you are a failure in life? I don't know about you, but I have. There are times when you look around and you tend to think, have I been able to do or accomplish anything of worthwhile value? Does it seem every time that you're getting ahead or it feels like you're making some accomplishment that something bad comes along and you find yourself feeling like that I make two steps forward but I take three steps back? Now apply that to a spiritual sense. Do you ever feel like you're failing spiritually? Do you feel like that as you strive through this life that you want to do better, but you find yourself not praying like you ought to pray? You look at your Bible and you say, do you know what? I've not been reading that book and studying it like I ought to. And I feel like that as a Christian, I'm really failing in this life. In fact, do you identify with the words of Paul? Now, I understand the context in which Paul stated these, but listen carefully as Paul presents them here. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For what the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Folks, reality is this. We have our mind set on the fact that I want to do what is good. I want to do what is right. I have my goal to be better. But I look at my life sometimes and I'm a miserable failure. Do you feel that way? The thesis of this lesson is that though we may see ourselves as failures, there's a winner inside that wants to succeed. There is within us a desire to do good, and there is an application of that passage that Brother Eddie read to us just a few moments ago from Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. And so I would like for us to consider, number one, doubt and discouragement. We live in a world that looks at us and brings out doubt. It talks about discouraging things. Number two, I want to talk about development and determination. The fact is that I want my life to develop into something better. And that I have to have the determination that I can do it. And so that will end up in either defeat or deliverance. And so let's begin with that idea. History has revealed throughout this span of time, there are people who are failures, but they refuse to be discouraged. In fact, in preparing this lesson, I went and searched around and looked at the lessons of other gospel preachers. There's a Brother Baker who preaches for the church in Tyler, Texas. And he had several slides in his presentation which I thought were very valuable because it really brought out the point that I'm trying to make. So let's look at secular history. And these are his. They're in blue so you recognize his. You look in secular history. Albert Einstein was one of the most notable people of the 20th century. In fact, as Time magazine got to the end of the century, and they started trying to pick out one person that they felt had greater impact on that whole century than anybody else, it wasn't a politician, it wasn't a military general, but it was Albert Einstein. He was famous for his theory of relativity, E equals MC squared, whatever that means. But do you know that Albert Einstein was 4 years old before he spoke a word? Can you imagine him running around as a little 3-year-old boy and not saying a word? I'm sure there are people thought, this little boy, he'll never amount to anything. Not going to have any ability. Isaac Newton excelled in many fields of science, particularly that of gravity, that of optics, those of you who wear glasses, and calculus. And I can verify how difficult of a topic or a subject that is. But do you realize he was considered unpromising in school? That people did not believe that he would make it? Or consider Thomas Edison. He had 1,093 patents. Among them are the phonograph, the long-lasting light bulb. But do you realize that in grade school, his teacher thought that he was too stupid to learn anything? Wouldn't you love to be that teacher who told him he was too stupid? Or F.W. Woolworth. He built an empire of over 1,000 stores. And I know I'm dating myself, but when I was a little boy, the greatest thrill that I could think of in a week was to be able to go to Woolco in Columbus, Mississippi and buy a model car. One of Mr. Woolworth's stores. But do you know when Mr. Woolworth was age 21, he was not permitted to wait on customers because he didn't have enough sense to close a sale. You think about Mr. Woolworth and that. Or Walt Disney. You know he's famous for Mickey Mouse and the fantasy-filled entertainment. Many of us have visited his theme parks. I've been to Disney World 3 or 4 times. Always amazed at the kind of imagination that he had. But do you know that he was fired from a newspaper because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas? You think about the doubt and discouragement. Or Michael Jordan, one of the best basketball players who has ever walked on the professional basketball court. Did you know that he was cut from his high school basketball team because he wasn't good enough? Babe Ruth held the record for many years for the most home runs at 714 in 34 years. But do you know that he also held the record for more than 1,300 strikeouts? You know, secular history has recorded a number of people whose lives appeared to be full of doubt and discouragement. And the purpose for bringing those in front of your attention has only been to focus your mind on what I want us to think about in this lesson is, And as I look at myself, do I see doubt and discouragement? Do I see a person who's a failure many times, but there is somewhere in that failure a desire, a wanting to succeed? You see, it's not just secular history, it's sacred history as well. And it records the lives of many who have been discouraged and those who've been wrought with doubt. I want to use the example of Moses, I want to use the example of Elijah, and I want to use the example of David. Just a moment. I want you to listen as Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. God looked at Moses and he says, "Moses, I've got a job for you." And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses was a man who doubted his ability. Now, as I go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, I understand why Moses had this doubt and discouragement. Stephen is recounting the history of Israel. And the reason why I use Stephen's recount of it, number one, it's inspired. But number two, it encapsulates the issue. It says, "Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them wronged, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." Folks, I want you to picture. Here's Moses at 40 years of age. A man in strength, a man in ability. He goes and he defends the children of Israel. He kills an Egyptian, believing that they're all going to say, "Moses, you're now our leader." But rather than having that kind of response, Stephen goes on to point out that he ended up fleeing to Midian, and for 40 more years, he was there in the wilderness. And so in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 11, when God says, "Moses, I want you to deliver my people," Moses is like, "God, I'm a failure. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I?" You see, that Moses, now at 80 years of age, is the man seasoned enough to do God's work. And he's ready. And he's a success. So I go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I will look at verse 4 and verse 14. And here Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel and her wicked husband Ahab. And there has just been a tremendous conquering of God's people on the top of Mount Carmel. But it says that he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a broom tree. There he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Here he is in verse 4. He says, "God, I'm not good enough. I'm a failure." Verse 14, and he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah was saying, "Lord, I am not successful enough." But God looks at Elijah and says, "I still have 7,000 who've not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah, you're a success. My kingdom is a success." So go further to David. In the book of Psalms, chapter 42 and verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." You see, David said, "God, why are you looking down so much? God's going to take care of me." In 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? I look at my life and I don't understand why.'" But David is presented to us in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. David is presented to us in Scripture as upon whose throne the Savior would sit. You see, David in himself looked and he said, "Who am I? Who am I?" And God said, "David, you are somebody who has the ability to do what is good." And that brings me to number two. You know, you see the doubt and the discouragement that we face in life, but let's turn that and see the admonition that Solomon gave and the wisdom within it. I'd like for you to look at it in the Fried Hardeman version. It's translated by Brother Hugo McCord, because I think he put it very well when he translated it. "Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will arise again. But disaster finishes the wicked." Here's a man, he falls, but what's he going to do? "I'm going to get back up again." He falls a second time, what's he going to do? "He's going to get back up again." He falls seven times, what does he do every time? He gets back up again. What about an unrighteous? What about a wicked man? He falls and he's down. You see, there is determination. There's the development in the life of a person who wants to serve God. This doesn't mean that this person looks and he says, "It's by my own power. I grab my bootstraps and I pick myself up." No. In fact, Paul would say in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Listen to Job as he speaks in Job 5:11. "He shall deliver you in six troubles, yes, seven. No evil shall touch you." See that number seven again? Here we go through a difficulty in life. Let me ask you a question. Do we all go through difficulties? Yes. How do we deal with those difficulties? Do we stay down or do we get back up? Listen to Psalms 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." If you are righteous, you can view this as not being something permanent, but as a possibility to do better. Yet there must be a determination on our part to get up with the Lord's help. You see, I can't just simply wallow in my pity. I can't say I can't accomplish it. I've got to look and say, with the Lord's help, I can do this. Let me give you a couple illustrations. In Luke 15, you're well aware of the young man who was given his portion of inheritance, went into a far country, there wasted it with riotous living. And now this young man comes to himself. And here's what he says. "I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and before you. And I'm no longer to be worthy to call your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Let me tell you something. In this young man's eyes, he was a failure. But when he returned to his father lifted him up, gave him the ability to go forward. So go to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer had written this book because of fear of failure. He said back in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and following, he says, "Take heed lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God." In other words, make sure that none of you allow this. But then he comes to verse 5 of chapter 13, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Every one of us needs to understand. Yes, there are going to be difficulties in life. But there's a determination on our part that God's with us. And God will take care of us. Which brings me to number 3. And that is defeated or delivered. There are a lot of people who give up and never try again. They look at this life and they say, I can't go forward. I can't do anything. In Matthew 25 and verse 25, there's an illustration of a person like this. He's the one talent man. He looked at what he had and he says, I just can't do anything. Yet others look and say, I don't care how it turns out. I can make good out of this. Listen to the one talent man in Matthew 25, verse 25. To his master he says, and I was afraid and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. You gave it to me, couldn't do anything with it. Here it is back. God said, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. You fell and you wouldn't get back up again because you're too lazy to do that. But I want you to listen in contrast to Philippians 1, verses 22 and 23, or 21 through 23. Here's the Apostle Paul, and here's where he's at. He's in a Roman prison. He's going to write 4 letters. He's going to write one to Ephesus. He's going to write one to Philippi. He is going to write one to Colossae. And he will write one to Philemon. And you might think in all those letters, Paul would bemoan his situation and say, you know, here I am. I may lose my life and I am in a bad situation. But here's what he says. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, look at life. He said, if I stay here, I'm going to keep preaching, and there are going to be people who are going to hear the truth and be saved. On the other hand, if I die, that is great, because I go and I will be with the Lord. That's a person who can fall 7 times and get up 7 times. In Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, we are more than conquerors. Now I want to ask you, what is your response to this lesson? Of what you've heard from God's Word, how do you respond to that? You know, there's one way you can say, well, I'm just a failure. I'm not ever going to make it. I'm not ever going to make it to heaven. I'm not ever going to be a great person. And if you do that, that's where you're going to end, in failure. Or will you let the Lord lift you up? Let the Lord be with you. Let the Lord be your strength. Let the Lord be your arm. And through your determination, make sure that you do what is right. And the question is, what will you do now? As you look at your life and you know what your life speaks, are you a Christian? If you're not, you need to come forward believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized And we would thrill this morning to see one more soul added to the Lord's kingdom. Are you looking at your life as a Christian and say, I'm a failure, but I want to succeed? You can come forward this morning and say, I know that I've not done what is right. I know I need to get back on the right track. And I'm ready to accomplish this.